Welcome to The Scene, presented by The Fragrant Mushroom in Sparta. I'm your host, Emily Newman, and today we're chatting with Will Winton of Bespoke Furniture. How are you today, Will?
I'm doing great, and thanks for having me on.
Yeah, thank you so much for coming out. So what is your business? What's your craft?
My business is what I call functional sculpture. I've been making furniture for several years now, and a few years back, I started integrating more sculptural elements into my furniture. The idea is to create pieces that change the space in which they sit and change the person who's sitting or using that furniture's personal experience. My influences range from Frank Lloyd Wright, of course, the mid-century modernism arts and craft, to sculptors such as David Smith and Jean Moreau. I try to create pieces that when someone walks into a room, they have a wow moment, and they're like, wow, what is that? One of the common questions I get when I'm exhibiting my functional sculpture is, can I sit in it? Can I put my glass on it? And I'm like, of course, because at its core, it's furniture, but it's furniture with a special, unique kind of look and feel to it.
I could see why people wouldn't want to sit in it, because it's it has such like a art feel to it, and it looks delicate to a point. And so I could almost see that, but you also want to enjoy it. So I think it would give people an opportunity to really spoil themselves.
Well, that's the whole point. I've always said to people, I wouldn't be calling it furniture if you couldn't use it. And that's the functional aspect of functional sculpture. It's unique. Each piece is handmade. Each piece has its own design, aesthetic, and utility to it. My goal is to allow someone to bring a piece of this furniture into their home or office and really enjoy it aesthetically, but also from a practical aspect. I sold a piece to a family in Georgia, and their kids call it the birthday chair. So every birthday, they set it up, and the birthday boy or girl gets to sit in the chair and become king or queen for the day. And they use it for special occasions. And that brings great joy to me. I feel that art needs to be appreciated, not just aesthetically, but in sort of a tactile form. One of my challenges in the past has been trying to reconcile function and aesthetics. I was trained years ago as an architect, and architects are all about function, form, space. What does the space do? But I've always been intrigued by sculpture. One of my favorite sculptures and one of my influences is David Smith. And David Smith was a sculptor in the 1950s and 60s who was known for his creations, metal, stainless steel creations, where he would take various objects, found objects, and sort of put them together, and he create very compelling sculptures that spoke to people. And I try to speak to people with my functional sculpture. It's not only useful and practical, but it says something. It makes a statement.
When you're adding value to your clients' lives.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I've always, you know, one of the things that I kind of emphasize with my clients is that, sure, you can go down to West Elm or Pottery Barn and spend $1,000, $2,000, $3,000 on furniture, but you're going to wander into someone's home one day for a party or to visit, and you're going to see the same thing. With my pieces, each piece is unique. There's no way to replicate it. That's the sculptural aspect of it. And so that has a great appeal to folks who want something different in their house. Something that, as I said, people will wander in and say, wow, what is that?
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. And that's why people buy original art.
Absolutely. Yeah. And it for me, as I said, my architectural training inculcated into me a real sense of practical, the practical needs for design, for structure. You know, you were speaking earlier about how people might look at it and say, can I sit in it? And I'm like, well, they're engineered to be functional and strong and sturdy. And that's the engineering side. I pride myself on the engineering that goes into my functional sculpture.
Welcome to The Scene, presented by The Fragrant Mushroom. I'm Emily Newman, and today we're chatting with Jonathan Stagger of Foxmore Fine Furniture. Hi, Jonathan. Welcome to the show.
Morning, Emily. Happy to be here.
Glad to hear it. What are some of the exotic woods that you use, and then what's your favorite type of wood to work with?
Ooh, I get to talk about wood now.
Yay.
So I use a lot of the domestic hardwoods. Mostly the domestic hardwoods, like walnut, cedar, maple, various types of maple, red oak, white oak, butternut. As far as exotics, I don't use a lot of them, mostly because of availability.
Mm-hmm.
And questions about sustainability. Some of them are over-harvested.
Okay.
We talk about like habitat destruction in the rainforest and such, and not all of them are threatened. It's just, I like to just, you know, we have such a treasure here in America, and especially in the Appalachian Mountains.
Mm-hmm.
It's really world-class lumber.
So do you have a favorite?
That's probably, you know, the saying about asking a parent to choose their favorite kid. It's probably, probably akin to that. It's just, it's a hard one. Let's see. Walnut's hard to beat. It has that chocolate brown color with that contrasting sapwood, which is the outer part of the tree. And that's probably the most expensive domestic hardwood, but it's worth it. I mean, it's gorgeous. So I use a lot of that. And ambrosia maple, if you've heard of that, also called wormy maple or ghost maple. It has these exotic looking streaks of color that are actually from the ambrosia beetle boring into the tree, and it carries a fungus on its legs, which stains the wood.
That's amazing.
I've been told it doesn't kill the tree, but it produces these really, really cool looking streaks, or flags, they call them. Where in the past, that wood would be used for upholstered furniture, because it wasn't desirable. People wanted clean wood, but tastes have changed. People have become more drawn to that natural kind of funky look.
Oh yeah.
Organic look.
Oh yeah. I mean, I'm all about it. Like, rough it up, make it look like it's been through something, you know, what's the story behind it.
Yeah.
And then you are able to make furniture out of it. And then it's just like story time in your house all the time. So if someone comes to you and they want to commission you to do a custom piece, what are the steps that you would go through, you know, to create that piece for them?
Well, the client will tell me what they're looking for, and I'll have them describe it as detailed as possible, including the rough dimensions. The more details, the better. Then I'll ask them to try to find some images of a similar piece online or in a catalog, or maybe a few different pieces that have elements that they like. We'll talk about different wood species, colors, stain options, joinery methods, finish options, and how these things all affect the overall price. There's a lot of flexibility there. I mean, you can make the same, something that looks more or less the same, but with different joinery techniques. Mm-hmm. And some will be a little more heirloom quality, you know, like traditional joinery versus pocket hole joinery. Most furniture you buy in the store is pocket hole joinery, and there's nothing wrong with it. It's just not traditional. Anyway, so we'll talk about those options, and I'll do some math and come up with a quote for them. And if it sounds good to the client, I'll take a small down payment before drawing up a 3D model. And that's been just a huge part of my business, is learning how to make the 3D model, because it's not only a way for the client and I to be on the same page and visualize the final product before I even start making sawdust. But it helps me calculate material quantities, make cut lists, and pull really precise measurements to reference during the build process.
Yeah.
When the piece is finished, I'll deliver it and install it myself, just to make sure it gets there safely, because I do get kind of, I form an emotional bond with a lot of my projects, and it's kind of hard to see them leave the shop, and I don't want them to get damaged. on the way.
Yeah, and I think that's a nice added touch, delivering it, for sure. Welcome to The Scene, presented by The Fragrant Mushroom in Sparta. I'm your host, Emily Newman, and today we're chatting with Will Winton of Bespoke Furniture. How are you today, Will?
I'm doing great, and good. Thanks for having me on.
Yeah, thank you so much for coming out. How old were you when you took an interest in the arts?
Oh, boy. My parents have a picture of me when I was like 5 or 6, and I'm sitting on the balcony of our apartment, and I have this little birdhouse kind of thing going, and I have a hammer in my hand. I guess you could say from the very earliest age, I took a real interest into furniture design and furniture making when I was in architecture school. You know, when architecture school is as intense of an educational experience as medical school. And so I would have to take a break from the studio. I'd have to take a break from my drafting table. And we had a terrific wood shop. And so I would go in there and I'd start messing around the wood shop. And the guy who ran it was a master carpenter named Mike Barnes. I will always remember him. And for the years in which I was in architecture school, he taught me a lot of the basic techniques of carpentry. And I started making furniture to the point of where I inquired with the dean whether there was a furniture class in the architecture program. And he said something funny. He said, well, we used to have one, but it was so hard, nobody signed up for it. And I'm sitting here saying, well, I want to sign up for it. And he's like, well, you'd be the only person in the class. And we had a long discussion from that conversation about the unique nature of furniture design. I've always said that furniture is the most intimate form of architecture, of design, because you're using it. You're sitting in the chair. You're using your side table. You're using your sideboard. You're sitting at the dining room table, okay? It has an immediacy to it that is unique. I mean, you can walk into a space that's not really well designed, and you could say, well, it's a crummy space. But if you sit in a chair that's not very comfortable for any length of the time, your back is going to start hurting. So there's this intimacy about it that I really, really like. It binds me with the person who is using the furniture.
Mm-hmm. Do you ever have the person in mind that's going to end up with this piece of furniture?
You know, that's really an interesting question. I used to think that, okay, well, the person who's going to buy, say, this chair is probably someone who, you know, wants to have an impact piece in their living room or in their office. But I've sold furniture to a whole variety of people. As I said, this couple in Georgia who, they just fell in love with one of my little chairs and said their kids would love it. And they had their daughter, and her daughter was sitting in it. And I was saying to myself, it's very hard to tell who your typical client is going to be. Because I'm not selling the same type of chair over and over and over. I'm not making Windsor chairs. And shouldn't be seen as a reflection, good or bad, on those who make Windsor chairs. The woodworking community is very conservative in many ways. They've done the same things for centuries. You know, if you look at an old 18th century chair, it has the same kind of dovetail and dado joints that a modern version of the same chair would have. With me, I use modern materials. I use modern connecting devices. I feel that the craft is there, but the craft is not the sole purpose of the chair or the table or any one of my functional furnitures. It's part of the process, but it's the end. It's the final product that counts.
The Scene, brought to you by The Fragrant Mushroom in Sparta. It's where we discover and uncover artists and their art from around the Upper Cumberland.
Hello, this is Liz Casera with Art Around the Scene, and I am here with Ron Baker, the owner of Photo Art, a new gallery space that's open on 31 West Spring Street. Ron, I have a few questions for you. I hope you don't mind to answer. The first one being, what kind of art do you do?
Hi. Thanks for asking, Liz. I do primarily photography, but I've got a fine arts route that began in college with a degree in fine arts, painting and drawing, photography and graphic design, so I'm pretty well-rounded, but to make a living, I got into commercial photography, and I've been servicing corporations and companies, doing marketing and business communications. And I've always had the burning desire to combine a photography studio with a gallery and to bring all the arts together into one place. So I'm continuing to do my commercial photography. I service area businesses, doing headshots, products, editorial stories, and I'm getting back to my fine arts roots now. I want to start doing more creative things with my photography and possibly some paint and some drawing. So we'll see how that goes. But I am offering a lot of different services now. I've acquired a lot of skills over the years. I worked in a commercial photo lab out of college, so I was printing all the other photographers' work out of Cincinnati, Photo Lab Incorporated. And I still do that today, except it's a digital world. So I'm providing digital prints for customers and clients as well. So I just got back into more graphic design. I'm doing vinyl signage for windows. And with the portraits and headshots, product photography, I continue that, and I welcome other artists into my space to exhibit their work because I want them to be promoted and to be visible in our community.
That sounds fantastic. Again, Renaissance Man, bringing back the salon discussions of art. So if people want to get in contact with you or to look at what you are offering, what kind of platforms do you have? Are you on social media? Do you have a website?
Okay, well, I'm located at 31 West Spring Street in Cookeville, right across from Dairy Queen. You can reach me by phone or text at 931-881-4971, or you can email me at ronb.photoart@gmail.com, or you can visit my website at photoart31west.com.
Helping guide you on the path to a new craft. It's your art on the scene.
Welcome to The Scene, presented by The Fragrant Mushroom in Sparta. I'm your host, Emily Newman, and today we're chatting with Will Winton of Bespoke Furniture. How are you today, Will?
I'm doing great, and Good. Thanks for having me on.
Yeah, thank you so much for coming out. So you recently designed and trademarked the Winton guitar chair. What was the process from start to finish that brought this wonderful design to life?
Well, thank you. the process started actually in June. I was at a crafts and arts fair in Oak Ridge, Tennessee. And it's about 15 minutes before closing, and it was a hot afternoon, and this young woman comes up and sits in one of my chairs, and she moves around, and she looked at me and said, "Have you ever thought of adding a footrest to this and maybe a place where you can put some picks and a hanger for your guitar?" I'm like, "Well, no, because I'm not a musician. I couldn't carry a tune if you gave me a rusty wheelbarrow." And it's true. And my father was with me, and dad looked at me and was like, "Oh, he's not a musician either." And she made the point that my chairs have very wide bottoms, but very thin backs. And she said, "You know, when I'm playing in a regular chair, my arms are always, elbows are always hitting the back of the chair.
Yeah.
With this, I have a full range of motion, but the seat is wide enough. And she went on to explain that it's interesting that most musicians, either they'll sit in a stool, which after a couple hours of playing, your lower back hurts because you have no support, or they're just sitting in any old chair that's given to them, and that restrains their motion. So, and she was very enthusiastic. So on the ride back home, I just started thinking about it. I said, you know, it wouldn't be really hard to create a footrest and a place to put picks and a hanger for a guitar. So the following week, I developed the first prototype. And, you know, not being a musician, I thought, you know, Dad and I were like, well, this may be the craziest thing in the world. So I invited a friend of mine who's a semi-professional guitar player over. And he came in and looked at it and sat down and started playing. And he played for the next hour and a half, and he looked at me and said, dude, you know, I don't know what you're going to be doing with this, but whatever you do, do it. And I started inviting other musicians, mandolin players, banjo players, and they all said the same thing. You know, they can really start focusing on their performance. And that's sort of the tagline to my guitar chair, is that it's becomes part of your performance. So over the past couple of months, I've been working in collaboration with a third generation metalsmith who takes my designs and creates sort of the metal parts to create this chair that allows a picker just to concentrate on playing their instrument and performing and in comfort. And that's what all of the pickers who've sat in my chairs have said, is it so comfortable?
Yeah.
So I'm looking to market it not only to musicians, but a friend of mine is a songwriter, and he says songwriters sit down for hours on end with their instrument and, you know, a notepad to write songs. And he was like, I could sit for hours and do nothing but compose. And the added benefit is that this is functional sculpture. So at the end of the day, they can hang their Martin D28 or whatever, their Fender on the back of their guitar chair and stand back, and the chair and the instrument become as one. And it's not just any old chair. It's a piece of beautiful sculpture that becomes part of their performance, that allows them to expand their musical creativity. And that's really what I want. I want something that will allow my musician creator friends to create even more wonderful music.
Now I need an artist chair. Thank you, Will, so much for coming on today. It was very informative. Where can we find your work?
You can find my work at my website, willwinton.com. I'm also on Instagram at WCWinton. And I will be exhibiting around the mid-state area pretty much for the next couple of months. But if you go to my website, I will have a listing of where I will be exhibiting. And, of course, you can reach out to me directly.
Wonderful. Thanks so much.
Thank you for having me.
All right. Welcome to The Scene, presented by The Fragrant Mushroom. I'm Emily Newman, and today we're chatting with Jonathan Stagger of Foxmore Fine Furniture. Hi, Jonathan. Welcome to the show.
Morning, Emily. Happy to be here.
Glad to hear it. So what is your craft? What is it exactly that you do?
Woodworking is my craft. I make things out of wood and trade it for money.
What kind of things do you make out of wood?
Primarily furniture. That's my passion. I do make pretty much anything made out of wood, cutting boards. I sell a lot of monitor stands online on Etsy. But sometimes I've made cabinets. I'm not trying to get into kitchen cabinets. It's not really my thing.
But you can do it just in case.
I can do it.
Anybody needs kitchen cabinets.
Yeah, especially like freestanding or like a special cabinet. I've made like corner cabinets, things like that.
And I saw some beds on your on your page, which were gorgeous.
Thank you.
Essential oil holder for anybody who needs to organize their essential oils, like me.
That's a new product.
Yeah, I like that a lot. So when did you take an interest in the arts? How old were you? Tell me about that story.
I was very young when I first started drawing. I was always drawing, and I just immediately drawn to it. So throughout my childhood and into high school years, I explored different avenues from drawing and painting to ceramics, sculpture. I went to college for graphic design. So I figured that was the most logical money-making, you know, career path.
Safe.
To take. Yeah, safe. And I enjoyed it. I do. But after I got my bachelor's, I kind of switched gears. I found that I didn't want to sit in front of a computer all day. I had to be working with my hands. And I've always been into the arts.
So then how did that transition into creating fine furniture?
Good question. So after college, like I said, it was actually my girlfriend at the time asked me to build a bed for her with drawers to save her some money and not have to get something of questionable quality from the local furniture store. So I took on that project and actually had a lot of fun with it. And that's when I first really realized that maybe this could be a viable form of income. And not only that, but artistic expression. It was just such a rewarding thing to produce this kind of functional piece of art.
Oh, yeah, it is a functional piece of art. Well, I appreciate you coming out today and being on the show. And where can we find your work?
I have one piece right now at the Craft Center.
Okay.
Likely we'll be putting more there.
And then online, how can we?
Yeah, so I have a Facebook page. It's Foxmoor Fine Furniture, Foxmoor. I also have an Instagram account. Trying to be more active on there. Sometimes I go through lulls where I just get, you know, kind of lazy with it. But
I do too. You know. That's kind of artist brain.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah. So, all right, and the Instagram page is what?
Foxmoor Fine Furniture as well. Awesome. I guess it'd be all one word, like all Instagram accounts.
Well, thank you so much. Appreciate it.
Glad to be here, Emily.
All right.
Thank you.